Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to a 20-13 loss for the Tennessee Titans in the wild card round against the Baltimore Ravens. Their season is done. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 here in Nashville. Corey, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, fellas. Just watch the snow come down.
Absolutely. A nice cold morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And, Corey, we've seen a lot of Titans football over the years. We've seen some heartbreaking losses in the playoffs for the Titans. Where does this one rank in your mind against the Ravens, given this team and the circumstances around it?
Well, I don't think it's heartbreaking because they just got beat. You know, you don't feel like, when they played them in 08, or the 08 playoffs, you know, they outplayed them completely. They just turned it over a couple times and lost a game they absolutely should have won. And it was the same, 8 years earlier. But not this time. I mean, the Ravens came in here and punched him in the nose and walked out with the win. They simply weren't good enough.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot, Corey, today about the decision by Vrabel, 4th and 2, or just that whole sequence. What did you make of that, and how critical that was in the final result?
Well, I hate to contradict myself, and because I've been saying, I said all week, and I said after the game that they needed to be more aggressive against a front that was entirely dedicated to stopping Derrick Henry. But at the same time, on 2nd and 2, you would like to think that with 3 Henry touches, you're going to move the chains. And they didn't do that. And so, not being able to take advantage of the Ravens' commitment to stop Henry is what hurt them all day long. And it hurt them in that sequence, because he did check out of the play on 2nd and 2 and took a shot at A.J. Brown, which, like I said, that's what I was calling for. You had to take advantage of those situations. They were unable to do it. And then, I don't know who makes these indexes that they have, but it was ranked like in the 99.9% of cowardly punts.
Right.
There was like a coward punt index. And I guess that sequence has happened 4th and 2 inside the 35 to 50 in the last 4 minutes or whatever it was, or in the fourth quarter, 75 times before, no one has punted before. That's pretty unbelievable. I think when it happened, I wasn't quite as upset about it. But then as I think back on it now more and more, I'm like, yeah, you probably should have just gone for it. Especially because a field goal still keeps you right where you need to be. You're still within 7 points if you give up 7 points. And why do you try? And I know your defense is playing well that day, but your defense hasn't done anything all year long to be trustworthy of punting it and thinking you're going to get it right back. So I don't know. And I think it goes against Vrabel. He's always been, a more aggressive guy. And so I guess that just all made it a little surprising. But I just think it kind of fit in with the day that they weren't good enough.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Corey, you mentioned Derrick Henry, and obviously the Ravens keyed in on him and were committed to slowing him down. 18 carries, 40 yards yesterday. And a lot of the conversation as we move forward here, and we've already gotten some of it on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is going to be on Ryan Tannehill and his box score numbers at the end of playoff games and how he wasn't just able to lift this team to victory throwing the ball down the field. Do you think that's fair? What did you think of Tannehill's performance yesterday? And do you think that narrative that maybe he's not good enough in the playoffs to win games by himself is a legitimate one?
Well, I mean, it's something that I've talked about, that last year they won 2 games where he threw for less than 100 yards. And then when they really needed him in the second half, wasn't able to do it in Kansas City. Really needed him here today, or yesterday, wasn't able to do it. Now, Did he have receivers who were open? I don't know. I wasn't at the game. I wasn't able to go to the game. I had to watch it on TV. And you get, I always feel like you get a better feeling from above, being able to see what's out there and what's not out there. You know, there was stuff early in the game. They really worked over Patrick Queen in the middle of the field early on, but that went away. And then, you know, AJ won those few battles with Marlon Humphrey early, but then those went away, and Corey Davis was never able to get going, which was surprising after he put up 118 against these guys earlier last year. So I don't know if I'll say Ryan Tannehill, but I'll say, you know, on a day where they were fully committed to stopping Derrick Henry, the passing game was not good enough to make up for it. If that's Arthur Smith, if that's Ryan Tannehill, if that's the receivers, whatever it wasn't good enough.
So how do you characterize this season, Corey? I think this is a question that really is going to be answered. Again, it's one of those sunshine or gloom, half full or half empty, but you're talking about a division championship, first time in 12 years, talking about one and done and two steps, you know, back from what you did last postseason. So how do you characterize, what's the synopsis of the 2020 Tennessee Titans?
I guess good, but flawed. You know, we knew, you know, this team was good enough to win games. This team was good enough to score a lot of points. But, you know, nobody went into the playoffs. I guess there were fans that probably did. But I don't think any of us went into the playoffs thinking that this was a team that was going to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think that was realistic. Their defense was not good enough where it was going to win three games in a row. I mean, they started the year 5-0. How many of those games did they win at the very last second against some teams that have proven to be very flawed? And they went 6-6 after that, okay? Flip of the coin. They went 2-4 in their last six home games. So, you know, this team was flawed. They won the division. That's great. This team doesn't have a lot of division championships. So, you know, that's positive. And I think the other thing that you have to look at it is you're close. You're not there, but you're close. You need a few more pieces. You've got to get them right this year. That's for sure. I think there's pressure because the window doesn't stay there forever. But I think we all knew, you know, this team was good but flawed headed into the postseason.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I want to ask you about Corey Davis, because the last three games have not gone well, was a non-factor in the Packers game, was a negative in the Houston game largely. And then, you know, two targets yesterday, no catches, and is not available at the end of the game. We don't know exactly what was going on with him. As you look at Corey Davis and the season that he had, which was largely really good for the Titans, and try to balance that with what his cost is going to be, what do you think his future looks like, and do you think he's a member of the Titans next year?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, I've always said I feel like Corey Davis makes them a better football team, you know, whether it be blocking or receiving. I think, you know, overall he makes them a better football team. I don't know what happened yesterday because the head coach won't tell us what happened. And I think that that's a situation where, you know, Mike Vrabel thinks it's none of anybody's business what's going on. He just makes the young man look bad, okay? If he gives some people some information, we can go, oh, he had a severed spinal cord. Now I know why he didn't play. But we'd have no idea other than he couldn't go. And I think that lack of information really does him a disservice for everyone. You know, look, there's a lot of free agent wide receivers out there. I think he's a better fit for them than a lot of other receivers are. That doesn't mean like you couldn't bring in a Will Fuller and he wouldn't help you, but Will Fuller isn't going to be the physical presence of the run game when you want to be a run team. So I don't know. I don't know if the feelings are too hurt over the non-picking up of the tender. I think that's silly when you look at what the price tag of the tender was and what Corey's numbers were. They didn't match. Those two things didn't match. And any person with a brain can do the math there and see that. And I understand that people's feelings get hurt, but, you know, so I don't know if that's going to be too much in the end. You know, I think when the season started, we were looking at Jayon, Janu, and Corey, and wondering where the money would come. I don't think that Jayon will be back at this point, because I think they'll just save their money and go with David Long. And then, you know, so how much does Corey cost? How much does Janu cost? I'll think Corey's back with the team when he signs. So I'll just expect him to be gone until he's back.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I don't see how – I mean, realistically, you've got to know. There was nobody in the world thought they were going to pick up the option on the number five pick relative to his performance. So I would think that would be a non-factor. But there may be a team who wants to give him 12, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, when this season started I always said that when they declined the option, they said, hey, we're going to decline this option, but we want you to be a part of our football team. And I feel like if they would have offered him like 4 years and $32 to $36 million at that point, they probably could have signed him, or 40. But now he's going to cost more than that. And so, you know, and somebody will probably be willing to pay more. It's just a matter of what Corey thinks is most important to fit for him. And I think he does fit in, you know, with some other teams. I think some other teams he could be a really good fit for, some teams that like to run the football especially. So you'll just have to wait and see on how that goes. But you saw what that Titans pass attack looked like without him in it, or without him productive in it. You know, when they just could focus on A.J. Brown, things got a lot tougher. Now, I don't expect Adam Humphries to be a part of this team next year, not at his price tag. I think his number's up over $10 million next year. So if you don't have Adam, you're not invested in anyone at that position. And that's why I think they should be able to afford Corey, because they've got AJ for two more years on his rookie deal.
Corey, last thing for you here. Obviously a big part of the offseason this year for the Titans is going to be fixing this defense. And I get it. They played well yesterday. I think they match up decently against that Baltimore offense and what they like to do, but largely just atrocious all season long. If you're John Robinson this offseason, how do you even begin to go about fixing this defense? Like, what's your first step?
Hiring a defensive coordinator. That's the first one. Look, players have got to have a person that they buy into as the guy that's calling the shots. All right? And that's talking to former players. They see it as a problem. And, you know, we all see it as a problem. When former players tell me it's a problem, that's when I go, okay, I'm not a complete idiot on this. They've got to bring someone in there to run the defense, or at least name somebody the defensive coordinator so that the players can look at it and go, okay, this is the guy in charge. Because I think that there are players on this team who are better than their production was this year, and that falls on the coaches to me. You know, there are guys in that team that they should have gotten more out of and that they didn't. And then, you know, they're going to need to actually invest at outside linebacker in some guys who can get to the quarterback, because Brooks Reed, you know, an effort guy, has two more sacks than Clowney and Beasley combined. So they've got to make the right choices. They need to draft somebody at that spot. I'm not saying in the first round, but reasonably high, somebody with an actual ceiling and floor that they can get to get after the quarterback, and not an undrafted free agent that they hope can pan out in 3 years. So they're going to have to invest in that spot, and they're going to have to bring in a defensive coordinator. And, you know, they got to make a big decision on Daquan Jones, who's a good player. And, you know, I don't think trading away Jarrell Casey worked out for him like they thought it would. They need to get more from a lot of spots. So, I mean, that's, you know, they're going to have to make a decision on Kenny Vaccaro, I think, you know, because if you say where can they save money, that could be another spot. He looked like he was running in cement yesterday when Lamar Jackson ran by him. And I like Kenny Vaccaro, but he's another guy who's like $6-7 million a year, and you can put Amani Hooker out there. This like David Long for Jayon Brown as well. You know, these are the decisions that you have to make. I don't ever advocate someone losing their job. I just, these are all math decisions for me. These are me putting numbers on a page going, what works, what doesn't work. So they've got some decisions to make on some guys, on who they're going to pay, who they're not going to pay. But it all starts with, who are you going to bring in to run the thing? And if it's Shane Bowen, then make it Shane Bowen. But if it's Matt Patricia or somebody else, bring them in. But the structure they've got now doesn't work.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Fun season.
Absolutely.
You know what's great, though? I just found out last night, because I just get warped in my football world. One season ends, another begins. We drop the puck on Thursday.
That's right. Go. Absolutely. Looking forward
about
to that.
About that, huh?
For sure. Corey Curtis, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. Appreciate you, my man.
All right. Later, guys.
Corey.
When we come back, what happened to the Titans offensively yesterday, and why were they never able to get Derrick Henry rolling in that game against Baltimore? We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.